Blog Talk Radio.
It is Thursday, January 19th, 2023, and you are listening to the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network, and I invite you to tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Central, that's 10 a.m. Eastern, as well as on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central, that's 1 p.m. Eastern, to our live internet broadcast. So this year, we are going from start to finish with all of the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. In January, we are discussing the seven seals prophecy in chapters 6, 7, and 8 of the Book of Revelation. In February, we're talking about the seven trumpets prophecy, chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11. In March, we're talking about the 1,260 days prophecy, chapter 12 in its entirety is the 1,260 days prophecy. In April of 2023, every live internet broadcast will be new discussion, new analysis, new insights focused on the 666 Antichrist prophecy. April is the fourth month of the year. And the 666 Antichrist prophecy is the fourth of 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. In May, we're headed to the fifth. We'll be talking about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, which is found in chapter 14 of the Book of Revelation. We'll continue in June with discussing, hearing, and analyzing verse by verse the earth reaped prophecy. If you're interested in the first resurrection, the rapture, that statement of prophecy, what it looks like and what it includes from the perspective of God, the vision John the Revelator was given when he was called up to heaven, that is presented in the earth reaped prophecy. We'll be discussing it in June of 2023. It's the sixth statement of prophecy, and so we'll be focusing on that in June. In July of 2023, get ready to focus on the seven plagues prophecy. So what are the seven final plagues? Who do they impact, and what specifically will happen? In August of 2023, we're going to the purple and scarlet prophecy. The purple and scarlet prophecy will reveal, it tells us, what happens to the harlot church? What's the instruction for the people of God? What is the outcome? How are they judged? Who are they? And where are they? All these secrets are revealed in the purple and scarlet prophecy. We'll be talking about it in August of 2023. Later this year, we're going to the ninth statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. That's the marriage supper prophecy. The Battle of Armageddon. So the Battle of Armageddon is mentioned in many statements of prophecy, but specifically what happens. So we get a report, a visual of specifically where people are with respect to the Battle of Armageddon. Wonderful. One of my favorite statements of prophecy. Of course, they're all terrific. But if you're interested specifically in the Battle of Armageddon and how that's going to work, how Jesus arrives, how it's fought and won, what weapons specifically are used, what's the cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon. So after all of this has happened, the war to end all wars, there will never be another war on this earth after the Battle of Armageddon. How is that carnage, how is it disposed of? That, interestingly enough, is also revealed in the marriage supper prophecy. We'll be talking about it in September of 2023. In October, we're headed into the final stretch. We'll be looking at the millennial reign prophecy. So that's verses 1 to 10 in chapter 20 of the Book of Revelation. So we begin with verse 1 of chapter 5. That's where we began in the first January program. That's where the statements of prophecy begin, with chapter 5. And we're going verse by verse, looking entirely at the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So have you wondered what happens when Jesus Christ establishes his government on this present earth? What happens? How does that work? Well, that is discussed. And have you ever wished that Satan was no more? Have you ever wished that Satan was no more and that evil no longer existed? Well, we are partially there. The third destruction, let me say it this way. There are five enemies of God, and those enemies must be destroyed before God the Father comes to the new earth that is created. And Satan is, in the order of their destruction, Satan is number three. So first we hear in the marriage supper prophecy, the Antichrist is destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. That's in Revelation chapter 19 in the marriage supper prophecy. And then the false prophet is destroyed also. And that happens at the Battle of Armageddon. It's reported in the marriage supper prophecy. And so then in the very next prophecy, at the end of the millennial reign, in the millennial reign prophecy, we have the report of how Satan is destroyed. He goes into that lake of fire that burns with sulfur and brimstone forever and ever. That's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. It's the culmination of the millennial reign. Exciting stuff. In November of 2023, we'll be focusing on the dead judged prophecy. There's so much judgment. I heard one reporter on a popular network saying, I don't believe that God is into judging people. And I thought to myself, are you telling a lie, or have you never heard the word of God? It's entirely possible that he's never heard the word of God. I don't know. But judgment is reported over and over again in the book of Revelation and elsewhere in the Bible. The dead judged prophecy, the 11th of 12 statements of prophecy, we're going to be talking about it in November. That is the great white throne judgment. So there's judgment day, what happens at the Battle of Armageddon, and then there's also the great white throne judgment. What happens to the tares, the weeds, the bad fish, the goats? So in the book of Matthew, we have these parables to describe the two groups of people that God puts all humans into. So we tend to think of people as, oh, this person's Canadian, or this person's African, or this person's American, or this person's European, and so on and so forth like that. But when you look at the word of God, either you are a member of the royal race in eternity future, either you're a member of the royal race. So after the end of the age, after the end of the world, either you're a member of the royal race and you live on the new earth, where, by the way, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more grief, there's no more mourning, there's no more death. Either you do that, living on the new earth as a member of the royal race, or you're in the outer darkness. You've experienced the second death, and you're in that lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. So either you're a member of the royal race or you're not. Either you're a sheep, these are members of the royal race, after the end of the world. So what does this mean, members of the royal race? Let me stay with my first thought and then go to that. So either a person is among the good fish or the bad fish. Either you and I, either we are a sheep or we're a goat. So, you know, it's interesting to think of life that way. right? So it's not about are you male or female, are you European or Australian, are you American or African, are you tall or short, do you have red hair or black hair, these other distinctions that the world wants us to focus on. God says either your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and your sins have been blotted out of your books in heaven, and you can stand before God. You will stand before God unashamed with your sin debt paid for. You have the ability to do that. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it's not. And your case is going to come before God. Now, if you are a truth seeker, you know that I don't decide about judgment. You don't decide about judgment. You know, we didn't decide what day we were going to be born on. We're not the creator. We're the creation. And so the creator has decided that all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will participate in the dead judge prophecy. We're going to be talking about that in November of 2023. Specifically, what happens at the Great White Throne Judgment? And I want to mention that at the end of that, the final two enemies of God are put to death. And that's an exciting prophecy. Finally, in December of 2023, we'll be focused on the New Earth prophecy. What happens after the end of the world? What's the world? That's this age. What happens after the end of the age, after the end of the world? We'll talk about it, what the book of Revelation reveals in the New Earth prophecy in December of 2023. But today, we're going to focus on the seven seals prophecy, the first statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It begins with verse 1 of chapter 5, and it ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. If you are interested, there are study notes, basic study notes, that are available for you at the blogtalkradio.com/live prophetic website. Let me give you the exact address. Blog Talk. So if you type into the URL of the internet browser, any internet browser, and you go to blogtalkradio.com/live prophetic, there you're able to get to the link for all upcoming PGN shows, and you can go to all other shows in what Randy refers to as the archive. And so there you can look for the Secrets Revealed show on January 19th of 2023. On page 2 are the basic study notes. Let me share with you what's there for you. The name of the statement of prophecy we're talking about today in the book of Revelation, it's called the Seven Seals Prophecy, using language from the prophecy itself. It is located in letter B in the study notes. I share that it's located in Revelation Verse 1, chapter 5, 2, verse 1 of chapter 8. It's movie trailer in words. In professional writing, we call that an abstract. Is all of chapter 5. The full report, in other words, the movie in its entirety, the entire documentary, not just a trailer, right? So if you see a movie trailer, you know a lot about the movie. You know its summary, if you will. You know the key players. You know the main conflict that needs to be resolved. It's very short. So that movie trailer for the Seven Seals Prophecy, the movie trailer in words, it's called an abstract in professional writing terms. But let's just talk about it as movie trailer. That's chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. The full report begins with verse 1 of chapter 6 and ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. So two chapters, that's a lot, are devoted to the full report for the Seven Seals Prophecy. So obviously, lots to unpack there. Also on the study notes, I communicate a non-exhaustive list of key topics for your information. The Seven Seals, the Four Horsemen, the 144,000. So these are some of the key topics discussed in the Seven Seals Prophecy. Here are some keywords, phrases, and numbers. White horse, red horse, black horse, pale green horse, 144,000 tribes of Israel, wrath of God. So these are keywords, phrases, and numbers in the Seven Seals prophecy. This is not a non-exhaustive list. So if we were to look at this together today, we might say, oh, well, I think we should add this, or maybe this too. So I don't want you to think this is an exhaustive list, but these are the things that jump out from my perspective and that I think lots of people have an interest in, so I list them there, and that seem important given the prophecy in context. Finally, I note under letter G on the basic study notes, what is the prophecy or prophecies that exist in the group of prophecies? So when you look at the 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, some of them hang together. Some of them hang together with significant overlap. They all hang together in the sense that they all focus on the second coming of Jesus Christ and or the events that happen following his second coming. So it's all about the revealing of Jesus Christ. Beyond that, some of the prophecies hang very closely together. So my perception is that if you wanted to study this prophecy specifically, that you look at it in tandem along with the seven trumpets prophecy. Those two hang very closely together from my perspective. Okay, so thank you for your patience. We are going to continue. As I mentioned on earlier programs, there's so much to unpack with this Seven Seals prophecy. I don't want us to miss any of it. We're going verse by verse. Last time, we focused on verses 9 to 11 of chapter 6. Today, we're going to focus on verses 12 to 17. But before we do that, let us hear the full report of the Seven Seals prophecy. So the book of Revelation is interesting for many reasons, but one of the things that's very special about this 66th book of the Bible, the culminating book in the Holy Bible, the final work in the book, in the Bible, the book that has detailed information about the return of Jesus Christ, one of the interesting things is that it has a special blessing that comes with it. And I want to pray that blessing over you. I want to read it to you. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says. So I declare and decree that you, truth seeker, are blessed because you listen to the message in the words of prophecy in the book of Revelation. And I pray, friend and truth seeker, that you will obey what they say. So God bless you. Thank you for being with me and with us today as we focus on the Seven Seals prophecy. Let's hear, reading from the New Living Translation, the full report. So the full report for the Seven Seals prophecy begins with verse 1 of chapter 6, and it ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. Here it is. It says, as I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say, with a voice like thunder, come. I looked up and saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gained the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth, and there was war and slaughter everywhere. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, come. I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, a loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay, and don't waste the olive oil and wine. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, come. I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree, shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds so they did not blow on the earth or the sea or even on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God, and he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel, from Judah, 12,000, from Reuben, 12,000, from Gad, 12,000, from Asher, 12,000, from Naphtali, 12,000, from Manasseh, 12,000, from Simeon, 12,000, from Levi, 12,000, from Issachar, 12,000, from Zebulun, 12,000, from Joseph, 12,000, from Benjamin, 12,000. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. and he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. That is the seven seals prophecy in its entirety. Let us get into it. So we're talking about the full report. We're going verse by verse. We have nine opportunities in January. Given that this live internet broadcast happens every Sunday and every Thursday, and the way that the calendar falls this year, there are nine opportunities to go from verse 1 of chapter 5 all the way to verse 1 of chapter 8. And so we began on the first program, and we discussed verse by verse and in great detail verses 1 to 4 of chapter 5. And then on the second program in January, second broadcast, we discussed verses 5 to 10 of chapter 5. So that's the movie trailer part of the Seven Seals prophecy. And then on the third program, we examined verses 11 to 14. So in that way, across three live internet broadcasts, and you can hear them in the archive, we examined the movie trailer in its entirety. And then for the fourth program, we talked about verses 1 to 8 in the full report. So now we're in the details of the Seven Seals prophecy, the full report, the movie in its entirety, if you will. So you say, well, a movie, you know, the book of Revelation is primarily documentaries. It's actual statements of prophecy that are grounded in fact. So these are not prophecies based on predictions using some software developed by a man or woman. These are not predictions from the greatest thinkers of our time or earlier times. These are, talking about the statements of prophecy, predictions, admonitions, which are warnings and instructions. And finally, consolations. Those are the three things that are in a statement of prophecy: predictions, admonitions, and consolations. These come from an omniscient God, a God who knows everything, the end from the beginning. And so that way, if you're thinking of each statement of prophecy as one of 12 movies, this is not Top Gun. This is not War of the Worlds. This is not Inside Man. These are not fictitious reports. These are non-fiction reports that include accurate, 100% accurate predictions about what is going to happen on this earth and the new earth to come. And so in the last program, just this past Sunday, we discussed verses 9 to 11, and now we are getting to verses 12 to 17 of chapter 6 in the book of Revelation. Let's hear it. It says, verse 12, reading from the New Living Translation, verse 12 of chapter 6 of the book of Revelation says, I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. Let's pause there. When it says, I watched, who's I? I is John the Revelator. So John the Revelator is in heaven, and he is being shown by an angel a vision. He's being shown, he's perceiving it. So there's a real stimulus. and he is perceiving that stimulus. He's experiencing that sensation as a vision. And so what's a vision? That's when you see pictures, pictures that have continuity. And so that's the same way that we experience movies or television programs. So if you think of these statements of prophecy, each statement of prophecy as a movie, and why should we do that? Because that's what he was seeing, and that's the closest thing that matches what we experience in 2023. So he's being shown this. When I say we, do people have visions in 2023? Absolutely, but not everyone has visions. But everyone has the ability to watch a movie, and most of us have seen a movie, although maybe only some of us have had visions. So he's seeing this vision, which is a curated experience. In other words, God has decided which specific images should be included in the vision. And they're all grounded in reality. They all reflect important realities that God wants you and me as readers of the book of Revelation to understand. So John the Revelator watches as the Lamb broke the sixth seal. Now, we talked about this before, but in case it's your first time listening, who's the Lamb? So Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. God in a human body when he came at time number one. At his first coming, he came and served a specific role. What was that role? Lamb of God. He served in the role of Lamb. At his second coming, he serves in the role of Lion. He returns to serve in the role as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, yet he is always Jesus Christ when he is in his body. First, he had a body, a tent, if you will. The Bible uses a tent. So why is the body a tent? It houses your spirit man and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So he had a tent. He had a body like your body and my body. It was mortal. But when he comes at time number two, when he is revealed to the entire world, he comes as Jesus Christ, who he is, but in a different role. He comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to wage a war in righteousness, the Battle of Armageddon, to establish his government on this earth. In Isaiah chapter 9 says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So here in verse 12, it says, I watched as the Lamb. So we know that the Lamb is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ breaks the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. Now, when you look at the seven trumpets prophecy, there's a great earthquake. When you look at the purple and scarlet prophecy, there's a great earthquake. When you look at the seven plagues prophecy, there's a great earthquake. So what am I saying here? We have 12 documentaries with these statements of prophecy, and they all focus on the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as the events. Some of them focus on the events that happen after that. So these documentaries overlap. The second coming doesn't happen seven times. It only happens once. But you can create seven unique and accurate videos about the second coming, right? So if we had footage, each of us had a camera, and we recorded footage from wherever we were on the earth. I'm here on the East Coast of the United States. Maybe you're in Texas, or you're in Mexico or Canada. Maybe you're in Switzerland. Wherever you are, if each of us is recording footage And then the Lord said to us, okay, I want you to edit your footage and create a 30-minute documentary that includes the second coming. Some of that footage from my video and your video would include the same thing. But we'd also have some unique points, mostly unique points, because from our perspective, we're seeing that final culminating event and the events that happen after, but there are other events that seem important too, and they are important. And so God has decided which of the important events to communicate and to have repeat in these documentaries, in these statements of prophecy. So I just want to point out that in verse 12, it says, and there was a great earthquake. Let's continue. Then it says, the sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. So after the earthquake, the sun has something occur that none of us has ever seen before. It becomes black. So it's not yellow anymore. It becomes as dark as black cloth. I shouldn't say it becomes black. It appears to be black. Whether it is or not, I don't know. And the reason I'm saying that is, why is it dark? Is it dark because there's smoke there? Is there dark because there are beings surrounding it? I really don't know. But we do know that when we look at the sun, it's as dark as black cloth. It says it became as dark as black cloth. Then it says, and the moon became as red as blood. And verse 13 says, then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. So lots of things happening on this physical earth. In verse 14, it continues, the sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Now, why were the mountains and islands moved from their places? Remember, there's an earthquake. So this is all happening concurrently. So there's the earthquake. The sun has a different appearance. The moon has a different appearance. Those three things happen at once. Then he sees the stars falling to the earth, and the sky is rolled up, and all the mountains and islands are moved from their place. Why are they moved? Because of the earthquake. Because of the earthquake. Let's continue in verse 15. It says, then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Let's pause there. So who is here at the time of the sixth seal? After the sixth seal is broken by Jesus Christ in heaven, who is here on the earth? My perception is that no person whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life is here on the earth at that time. Now, are we in the clouds with Jesus Christ? Maybe. Are we in heaven briefly with Jesus Christ? Maybe. But for sure, we're not here on the earth. You say, well, research scientists, how do you know? Well, why do you think that? Why are you saying that? Because it says, then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person all hid themselves. So everyone means everyone, and all means all. Think about this. When Jesus Christ returns, are you going to hide yourself? No. When Jesus Christ returns, you're going to be excited. If you and I are here on this earth when Jesus Christ returns, our body is changed in the twinkling of an eye, and it rises up, our immortal, glorified, perfected body, to meet Jesus in the clouds. When that happens, there's some number of people, every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who remains on the earth. And what happens to them? Here it says, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Let's hear what else these individuals say. In verse 16 it says, and they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne. Let's pause there. So these individuals who are on the earth, living in mortal bodies, they're crying out. So they're not crying out to other believers. They're not crying out even to each other, realizing how futile it would be to try to get help from another mortal at this point. So they cry out to the mountains and the rocks, and they're asking to die. They say, fall on us. You know, elsewhere in the Bible it says, in those days they'll seek death, but they shall not find it. So let's continue here. It says, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne. Now, who sits on the throne? God the Father sits on the throne. And so now all the atheists, all the people who have said Jesus Christ is not God, he was a good man, but he was just a prophet. All these individuals now are confronted with the reality of the truth. They cannot deny it any longer. And unfortunately, they miss the first resurrection, and they're here on this earth. They're seeking death, begging the mountains and rocks to fall on them so that they can hide from God the Father, who they had rejected. And what else does it say? And from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Let me back up for a second. The one who sits on the throne. So we discussed earlier in January that when John goes, when he's called up to heaven in chapter 4, which is John's report on heaven, he tells us everything that he sees. And so he sees these 24 elders. Each of them has their own thrones, and they have each is wearing a crown, and each has a harp. And there's another thing. He also tells us that God the Father sits on the throne, and he tells us that he sees the Lamb who grabs the scroll from the right hand of the Father. So that's why I'm saying, God the Father is the one who sits on the throne, because now I'm not saying Jesus Christ doesn't sit on a throne in heaven, but in this specific report in the book of Revelation, we're told that when John was caught up into heaven, and what he sees at that specific time, what he saw was God the Father sitting at the throne, and one who looked like a lamb who had been slaughtered go up to the Father and take the seal from his right hand as the Father sat on the throne. So let's continue here. They also said, fall on us and hide us from, the second part, the wrath of the Lamb. Let's talk about that. Wrath of the Lamb. We are not appointed to the wrath of the Lamb, right? So I hear people say all the time, well, the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath. Agreed. Let's note that there is the wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation. That's discussed many places in the book of Revelation, but I just want to highlight in this moment the 1,260 days prophecy. The third statement of prophecy focuses on the wrath of Satan. The 666 Antichrist prophecy also focuses on the wrath of Satan. The wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, is followed by the wrath of God. And so here in this first statement of prophecy, we're getting into it. So these individuals whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have rejected the truth, who have failed to either find God's plan for salvation, or if they found it, they refused to follow it. And so they missed the first resurrection, and now they are confronted with the reality, and they note the reality that the day, the great day, I'm getting ahead of myself. They say that they want fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. So they know now the reality of Jesus Christ. They have to face it, and they have an awareness that, wait a minute, the wrath of the Lamb is here. So the wrath of the Lamb is mentioned here in the seven seals prophecy. And like we see in all the statements of prophecy, they're references to other statements of prophecy. So if you said, well, I want to know more about the wrath of the Lamb, like what specifically does that look like? That looks like the seven plagues prophecy. So the wrath of the Lamb is described in great detail in two statements, well, actually three statements of prophecy. The seventh statement of prophecy is the seven plagues prophecy. The eighth statement of prophecy is the purple and scarlet prophecy. The ninth statement of prophecy is the marriage supper prophecy. So in the seven plagues prophecy, we see that the wrath of God includes but is not limited to the Battle of Armageddon. So the seven final plagues, so there are other plagues discussed in the seven trumpets prophecy, but the seven final plagues, we're told that the seven final plagues, chapters 15 and 16 of the book of Revelation, the seven final plagues, that's one statement of prophecy that focuses on this, the wrath of the Lamb. And then, so it includes, but and it culminates with the Battle of Armageddon, but it's not limited to that. So when you look at the seventh and final plague, when that's poured out, two things happen. One of those things is the Battle of Armageddon. Then the wrath of God also includes the destruction of Mystery Babylon, the city of Babylon, a specific location on the earth where the great harlot church operates. I'm just going to say it now. It is Rome. We can't get all into that today. But in August of 2023, we're going verse by verse, looking at that purple and scarlet prophecy. So here we are in the seven seals prophecy. Oh, and let me finish that. If you also wanted to know more about the wrath of the Lamb, it culminates with the Battle of Armageddon and the marriage supper prophecy. I believe that's verses 6 to 21. Let me tell you for sure. That's in Revelation chapter 19. The marriage supper prophecy is all about the Battle of Armageddon. And yes, that begins with verse 6 of chapter 19. It ends with verse 21. So here we have a reference to the wrath of the Lamb. The people who remain on the earth after the first resurrection, they know what time it is all of a sudden. If they didn't believe in Jesus Christ before, they believe in him now. They know and have been forced to confront the reality of Jesus Christ as God and the wrath of the Lamb. Let's hear the last verse, verse 17. When I say the last verse for our discussion today, verse 17 says, "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" Now, this is very interesting. It says, "For the great day of their wrath has come." In verse 16, they asked, we're told, to be hidden from the one who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. So two different things, right? So there's God the Father, and then God the Father also created for himself a human body. And so that's the reason that Jesus can also be the root of David and the heir. He can be the root and the offspring of David, right? So when it says in verse 17, for the great day of their wrath has come, who is there? There is both God the Father, who's sitting on the throne in heaven, and the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. But when they see him again, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not as the Lamb. But in fact, Jesus Christ is both the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in contrast to what Kirk Franklin has said, the Lion and the Lamb will not bow down to the goat. The Lion and the Lamb will not bow down to the goat. Every knee will bow at the name of Jesus Christ, and every tongue will confess. So we are in the seven seals prophecy. Today we have heard verses 12 to 17, and clearly, the first resurrection has already happened at the time of the breaking of the seventh seal. Because everyone who's here on the earth hides themselves. They're not running to Jesus. They're running from Jesus. They're running from the wrath of the Lamb. Okay, so I want to pause there. I want to thank you for being with me and with us today. On Sunday, we're going to continue our discussion looking at verses 1 to 8 of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. And then the following Thursday, we'll look at verses 9 to 15. And finally, the following Sunday, we'll look at verse 1 of chapter 8. So I'm so excited to go from start to finish with all the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. I never take for granted the time that you give to being with me and with us. I want to invite you to text me any questions or comments that you have about anything discussed today or any topic in the book of Revelation. And you can send your text to our PGN text number, which is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. Also, during the live broadcast, you are always invited to call in for prayer, and our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. You can text your prayer request as well. So you can call or text. Text is available 24/7. The phone number is for the live internet broadcast. As you know, there are many live broadcasts here on PGN. I am looking forward to the day when 24 hours a day, no matter what time you tune in, you are listening to live ministry on Prophetic Grace Network. I believe that God is taking us there. Praise God. Thank you to Randy Chandler and Julie Chandler for their leadership of PGN, for their service to God. And thank you to every listener, to every truth seeker. I am excited about what is happening here on PGN and what's happening on this program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. I encourage you to call out to God, and he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.